Hello again, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Oh, Ray and Kate, you snuck in. Good to see you guys. Thank you for making the effort to be here this evening on our first snowfall. You can hear me? Yeah? Oh, okay, sorry. Thought somebody was telling me they couldn't hear me. Anyway, we are celebrating 3 years, which is pretty crazy. It's hard to believe that time has gone by that much. I'm not going to lie to you. I was hoping for something a little bit better than this. I was hoping we could have cake together or a meal together and have everybody together, but stupid COVID continues. And so we are celebrating in a less than ideal fashion, but we're celebrating nonetheless, which is awesome. And God has indeed been incredibly faithful to us over the years and has been incredibly faithful to us in this COVID time as well. I'm going to pray, and we are going to get started on our talk today about God's story and the story of Southeast City Church. So let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you that your faithfulness is indeed great and that your mercies are new every morning. There is mercy and grace ready for us, form fit for whatever the day requires. Every single day, day in and day out, without fail. You are faithful to meet us where we are, to give us what we need, to move us forward. And God, we thank you so much for that. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for being here for this church. Thank you for all the ways that you have grown us, not just numerically, but in terms of depth. God, thank you for all the ways people are being made more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Thank you for the impact we've been able to have on this neighborhood and on our city. Thank you for all of the collaborations and partnerships we've been able to have, the reputation that we've been able to build. God, thank you so much for all of these things. And thank you for this chance in the midst of a really difficult, challenging season where just a lot of things are going wrong, or a lot of things are just emotionally, spiritually, mentally hard. Thank you for the chance to pause and take a moment and reflect and praise you and celebrate you and have something real to celebrate together. So God, thank you for who you are. And thank you for this church family. And thank you for this chance to remember and to give glory to you. Be with us as we reminisce together, as we sing together this day. May you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So about 6 years ago, God told Diane and I that he wanted to see a particular church come about in our lives, and we didn't know what that meant. Well, were we supposed to pastor an established church? Were we supposed to launch a ministry? Were we supposed to replant a church, plant a church? We didn't know exactly what that meant, and obviously it ended up being plant a church, and that church ended up being Southeast City Church. But there were four things that God laid on our heart that he wanted to see in this church that would be part of our lives and would become part of the lives of the people who've gathered around the vision and the mission. And those are, of course, our pillars, which are always up there on the stage: Jesus, family, city, mission. These were the principles, the values that God laid on our heart. We wanted to see a church that was all about Jesus, a church where in everything we do, it's because of Jesus and it's for Jesus. So it flows from Jesus, from the identity and the purpose and the mission he gives us, and then it flows back to Jesus. We do what we do to glorify him, to honor him, to thank, obey, emulate, please him. So Jesus is at the center as king, and everything flows from Jesus and flows back to Jesus. We didn't want to be a church that was just full of a bunch of good, morally upright religious folks, but we wanted to have a church that was full of people radically devoted to Jesus, who knew that they were loved by God and were captivated by his grace, and who wanted their lives to count for his glory and his kingdom. People who wanted to live for Jesus with every aspect of their lives. We also wanted a church that was a family. So we didn't want a church that was merely a service provider or that was just a social club or an event that happens on Sunday. We did church, we did Christianity for a couple of hours on Sunday. We wanted to be a church that was a family where we were actually involved in each other's lives, and we prayed for each other, and we wept together, and we rejoiced together, and we carried each other's burdens, and we helped each other become more like Jesus. We wanted to be a family. We wanted to be a church that was for the city, specifically for Alta Vista, but for Ottawa at large. We wanted to be a church that didn't fear the city, that didn't neglect the city, that didn't withdraw from the city or merely tolerate the city, but a church that was actually a blessing to our communities, a blessing to Ottawa. We wanted to have a church that if we closed our doors, the people in the neighborhood would say, we didn't really agree with everything that they preached and everything that they believed, but we don't know what we're going to do without them. They're such an integral part of our community, and they've done so much good. We don't know what we're going to do without them. That was the kind of reputation that we wanted to have in this neighborhood and in our city. We wanted a church that was full of the very best citizens, people who were actively and tangibly, sacrificially serving their neighbors to see them thrive and flourish, especially the poor and the marginalized and the exploited. And then we wanted to be a church that was all about mission. We believe that Jesus is the hope of the world. And so we want to help people discover, know, believe in, and follow Jesus. We wanted to be a church that created safe spaces where people who are burnt out by religion, people who are hurt and wounded, people who are skeptical and cynical about faith or about institutions, we wanted to create safe spaces where they could explore the claims and teachings of Jesus at their own pace and experience the love of God with people who love God. And we wanted to help the Christians in our midst. We wanted to equip them to be disciple makers in our culture wherever they live, work, play, and go. So mission isn't done by just a select group of people, but mission, making disciples of Jesus, is the prerogative of every Christian. And there are places you go where I don't go. There are people you know that I don't know. And you could try to bring them here, but if they don't come here, then how are they going to be reached? They're going to be reached by you. And so we wanted to be a church that equipped Christians, everyday Christians, to be missionaries wherever they are in life. A church of disciples that make disciples. So those were the four passions that God laid on our heart. 3 years in, I want to look around and I want to ask, have we done it? Well, obviously we haven't fulfilled it. We haven't reached the end of these things. You can chuckle. You can have some reactions. Okay, that's good. All right. For those of you at home, quiet crowd here in the church tonight. Hopefully you're engaging at home, wooting and hollering and all of that by yourselves. Kind of weird, but, you know, do it if it makes you feel good. I look around and I wonder, have we done any of these things? Have we lived into any of these values? Well, let's start with Jesus. We have preached Jesus week in and week out. Just the other day, I was on a video call and one of our members said something that warmed my heart. She said, I love knowing that it doesn't matter what Sunday it is. If I bring a friend, they're going to hear the gospel. Like, that's just Southeast City Church. There are not Sundays where I'm like, ooh, I'm glad I didn't bring them this week. Or, wow, that would have been totally irrelevant. They're like, it doesn't matter what week it is. If I bring them, they're going to hear the gospel because the gospel is preached week in and week out. So in terms of us exalting Jesus, we have done that. I love that my kids, when they're in children's church with Rachel and Kirsten and Laura and all of their fantastic teachers and helpers. I love that when they're down there, they're not being taught how to be good little Christian kids. Their behavior is not being modified, but they're being told about Jesus. They're being told about grace and forgiveness. and how we all fail to be good, but Jesus died for our failures, and through Jesus is forgiveness, and through Jesus is the power to live differently. I love that that's what they're hearing, and that's what they're being taught. Hopefully, we're not raising a little clan of Pharisees, but a clan of grace-captivated Jesus lovers and followers. When I think of family, how are we doing at being a family? Well, you saw in the slideshow, for those of you that are here, for those of you at home, you'll see the slideshow later, tons of pictures of us hanging out in our living rooms and around dining room tables. That has been the thing that I have missed the most in this season, is us being able to be in each other's homes. It was super emotional to watch that slideshow and see us all crowded into rooms, shoulder to shoulder, multiple people on a couch. It's been months since we've been able to do that. It'll probably be months still before we're able to do that. Again, we will get back there. We will get back there. It's gonna take time, but it was hard to see that and be like, that's not the reality right now. But I love that we have all been in multiple people's homes over the course of the last 3 years, having family meals. I can think of countless acts of family love. Just before COVID, we were at Gilmore's hockey game hanging out together. A bunch of you came to Leah's dance recital. Several of you have invited each other to Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners over the years. We've gone to wakes and funerals together to support each other. We've been sending random encouragements to each other over the last 3 years, yes, but especially in the last 10 months. I am unbelievably grateful for all of the out-of-the-blue texts I get just encouraging me in the work of ministry, and I know you're doing that not just for me, but for each other. I love going onto our Staying Connected page on Facebook and seeing people putting real prayer requests out there and people responding, we love you, we're there for you, let us know what we can do, we're praying for you. I know from hearing about it that several of you have been checking in with each other. Even in the midst of COVID, we've been able to have COVID-wise baby showers. We've been able to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. Even just think about it, baby showers. We might not think that much about that, but there are a lot of people I know who don't have people in their lives who would throw them a baby shower. And yet, anybody in the church is having a baby, there's going to be a baby shower, and it's going to be a celebration, babysitting. There are like 20 people Diana and I could call to come watch our kids. We were having a social event, this was a long time ago, before COVID, with some friends, and they were saying, we're having a really, really hard time finding a babysitter. We're having a hard time hiring a babysitter to come and watch our kids. And I was like, hiring somebody? And I'm like, yeah, we're trying to find somebody that we can pay to come watch our kids. You pay people to watch your kids? I can't remember the last time, if ever, I paid somebody to watch my kids. There's so many people I can call up who will come for free to watch and hang out with my kids. Our going deeper groups, 3, 4, 5 guys and gals getting together to check in and pray with each other. There are so many ways that we've been family to each other over the years. When I think about city, how are we doing in terms of being for the city? Well, we've collaborated with the Riverview Park Community Association and our counselor's office to host neighborhood-wide community building events. One of our most famous, one of our most well-loved and highly anticipated is the movie nights in the park, which we weren't able to do this year, but we've done 3 times in the past and will hopefully do again. People love coming and getting giant bags of popcorn and hanging out under the stars to watch movies on the big screen. We've partnered with other churches and organizations and associations to throw Canada Day festivities 2 in a row. We've been able to be part of the national movement of generosity known as the Big Give. The first year we did the Big Give, we've done it 2. The first year we did it, we paid for everybody's coffee who came into Mandy's coffee shop. It's not there anymore. I guess we weren't that successful. but when it was there, we just kind of hung out there for 6 hours, and everyone who came in. We paid for their coffee. The second time we did the big give, we went to the apartment complex that we love, Russell Gardens, and we had a massive barbecue that the tenants contributed to, and we brought soil and plants, and people were able to put together planters to beautify their balcony. There was face painting for the kids. There was music. We were able to do so many things. We spent hundreds of dollars on fresh produce to just give it away, bless our neighbors, and they blessed us, and it was a wonderful day. The big give. I think most excitingly of all, one of the biggest things we've been able to do as a church that I love the most is our partnership with Russell Gardens and with Ottawa Community Housing and with Options Bytown, and how we have been able over the years to just reach out and love on our neighbors in community housing. Having meals together every month, my wife providing professional foot care since COVID started, every week being able to deliver food bank orders, having bingo, courtyard bingo during the summer, and we've got lots of things planned for Christmas. These are some of the ways we've been blessing our city. When I think of mission, we've had nights of conversation where we occupy a coffee shop and we ask an intriguing question and we have people come in and answer that question from different worldviews, different perspectives, one always Christian, one always non-Christian, and then we discuss the talks together. And I think that that's a fantastic event. I hope we get to do again someday or find some way to do online, because I think that that type of event affords us an opportunity to reach people in a way we wouldn't be able to if we just did a straight up seeker Bible study or a gospel night event. There's a lot of people that wouldn't come to that, but they'll come to hear a dialogue between two people who disagree, but are going to dialogue sensitively and actually listen to each other, and we'll get to talk about it together. Those were great events that we were able to do three times, I think. We hosted Christianity Explored. We've preached the gospel in some way without fail publicly every week since January 2019. We've been able to continue all through COVID preaching the gospel every week online. And I go and I look at our Facebook page and the videos get hundreds of views. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. I really don't know what that means. I seriously doubt that 300 people have watched the sermon through in its entirety, but it's entirely possible that there are a few people who did, who would have never connected with our church otherwise, but online they have, and the gospel's gone out to them. We saw Laura come to faith in our midst, and we were able to baptize her. We saw Sherelle and Jiwon and Sam go further up and further in and declare their allegiance to Jesus publicly through baptism. These are just a few of the memories that come to mind of just 3 years of Southeast City Church. It's interesting when people ask me, how's the church going? If I just look back at the past week, I'm like, I don't really know. And I don't really know how it's doing. But when I look back over the past 3 years, I'm like, dang. A lot has gone on. A lot has happened. A lot has been accomplished for a church of our size with our resources. Now, do I see perfection when I look back over those past 3 years? Absolutely not. I see a lot of mistakes in myself, a lot of things I would do differently. No, we are not perfect. And we will never be perfect this side of heaven. But what I think matters is that we're trying to follow Jesus faithfully. And Jesus has a lot of grace for us as we stumble in following him. So these are things that we can enjoy and celebrate together. But I want to make a few exhortations as well. When it comes to family, let's keep loving each other well. We're 10 months into this pandemic thing, and I know that we are just tired. We're emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically tired. And we might be very tempted, especially when the snow comes and it's already started, right? It's darker earlier, darker later. We might be tempted to just hide in our homes and interact with no one. And I want to say, let's keep striving to love each other, even in this difficult season. Let's keep checking in. Let's keep leaning in. Another thing I noticed in that slideshow, if I can be honest, is that I haven't seen some people in a long time. And I just want to encourage those who have kind of pulled away and disconnected. We have all coped with this season in different ways. We all have different capacities. I get that. I get that. I respect that. I honor that. I sympathize with that. But for those that have kind of pulled away and disconnected, I want to encourage you to lean back in. I want to encourage you to reconnect. Don't stay distant forever. Find other ways to cope, ways that involve your church family, that involve us. Chapter 2 of Acts, famous chapter. We go to it all the time. Luke, the historian, writes this about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If Taffy was here, I know he's probably at home watching this, but if he was here, he would say, look, it says every day. Every day they got together. Why are we not getting together every day? And I think we all have answers for that as to why we don't get together every day. But what we learn from the early church is that they felt the need to be together. They wanted to hear from God together. They were hearing a lot of lies during the week, and they wanted to hear truth. They needed to remember and celebrate Jesus in communion together, because in remembering and celebrating Jesus, they were reminded of who they are and what the story is that they're living into. They needed to pray together for God's help and God's intervention in their lives. They just needed to be together. They needed each other. They understood that they were better together, and they just needed to know that they were not alone in the journey that is life. You're not alone. Please reconnect. Please continue to lean in. We need each other. We need each other. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Whether it's digitally or whether it's in person, let's not forsake getting together. I don't know about you, but there have been many times where, if I can be frank and honest, I have not wanted to sign on to go-to meeting on Wednesday night. I haven't wanted to gather to pray. I haven't wanted to go to a night of conversation and talk. I haven't wanted sometimes at Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon to go online. But here's the thing. Every single time I do, I'm glad that I did. It was work. It was effort to do it. But once I did it, I was glad that I did. I don't think I've ever signed off and been like, I'll never get those 2 hours of my life back, right? I'm usually like, that was good, and I'm glad that I did that. So let's keep loving each other. Let's keep checking in and leaning in. That's family. For city, I have two exhortations. And the first one might seem kind of silly, but I feel the need to make it. If you're looking, if you are not settled down, and you are looking for somewhere to live and buy a home, consider Alta Vista. Consider the city. Think of the city. I am meeting far too many country-loving Christians. And God obviously wants people wherever there are people, but I want to just talk about the city for a second. I hope I don't need to explain the importance of cities. 55% of the world's population, they live in cities. The UN estimates that by 2025, it's going to be 2050, it'll be 68% of the world's population. Cities are where the people are. Cities are where a nation's political and economic institutions are. Cities are where culture is often shaped and formed and trickles out to everybody else. Cities are where the poor are. Cities are where immigrants and refugees, when they come to the country, often end up. Cities are where the marginalized go. You can't find anybody that's like you in the town, but you can find people that are like you in the city. And cities are often where there is very obvious brokenness and need. I was reading this the other day. An urban missionary says, unquestionably, cities serve up more person-to-person interactions and more cross-cultural exchanges in a day than anywhere else. Mathematically, the opportunities in a city for sharing and demonstrating the gospel are unmatched. I look at our street of Russell, where Diana and I live. We miraculously got that house. But we live on Russell Road. And I look at our street, and just down from us is the Rideau Pearly Veterans Health Center. There are a lot of Somalians in our neighborhood. There's a lot of affluence in our neighborhood, but also several community housing complexes within walking distance. I can walk to like three or four in a matter of minutes. There are pockets on my street, pockets of criminal activity and gang activity and drugs and violence and conflict and racial tension, amidst other pockets where there's a lot of comfort and people feel like they have everything that they could ever want or need. We're surrounded by original homeowners, people who have lived there for decades, lots of seniors and elderly people who are now more shut in than they were before. And as they unfortunately pass away or as they move into assisted living, who's taking over their homes? Younger families. So there's a mix of young and old and everything in between. There's a lot of students renting around our house. They're building new apartments, I don't know if you've noticed, at the corner of Saint Laurent and Smythe. Hundreds more people are going to move into those apartments. The area is going to get even more congested and densely populated. And for those of you that are like, I want 100 acres, that stresses you out. For me, I'm like, that's hundreds more people across the street from the church. Let's go. All right? That's just on my street. There's so much potential, so many possibilities for outreach and for impact. I love at the end of Jonah, the little minor prophet Jonah, right? Jonah hates Nineveh. He hates the Ninevites. He doesn't want to go and preach the gospel to them. He doesn't want to tell them about God's love. God says this to Nineveh. He says, should I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people, who cannot distinguish between their right and their left? 120,000 was a big city in the ancient times. Obviously, now we're getting up to 20 million people in a megacity. But God looks at that city and he says, should I not care? Jonah looked at Nineveh and what did he see? He saw decadence, excess, godlessness, pride, idolatry, exploitation, and he just wanted to see it burn. He wanted nothing to do with it, but God looked at Nineveh, and he saw it as a place filled with hundreds of people made in his image who were lost and didn't yet know his love. And he said, I care about that place, and I care about those people. God saw a mission field. He saw a harvest. He saw potential. What do we see when we look at the city? We might be like, it's noisy. It's congested. It's expensive, it's unsafe, there's too many people that aren't like me. Yeah, all of those things are true about the city. But I just want you to think, maybe it's worth it. Maybe the extra cost, maybe not feeling all that safe, maybe the noise, the congestion, being surrounded by people that are different from you socially, politically, religiously, maybe that's worth it. God cares about the city. In some way, we should care about it too. Exhortation number one, consider moving into Alta Vista. Consider living here. Exhortation number two, it's our anniversary Sunday, so I get to go a little bit longer. Exhortation number two, don't forget your neighbors this winter. I think about being for the city. Let's not forget each other. Let's not forget our neighbors this winter. I shared these stats a couple of weeks ago in a blog post. I'll just share them again. In 2018, 68% of Canadians 15 years and older reported excellent or very good self-perceived mental health. This figure dropped to 54% in late March and early April 2020 before going lower still to 48% in early May. People's mental health is just dropping, dropping, dropping. Ontario saw the number of confirmed and probable deaths from opioid-related causes increase by almost 50%, from 148 deaths in January to 220 deaths in May. Close to 1 in 5 Canadians, 19%, have increased their alcohol consumption, and cannabis consumption is up 8.3%. Indigenous people, people living with disabilities, and low-income Canadians are experiencing more suicidal thoughts. The CBC article said many Canadians feel isolated and are worried about the state of their friendships and familial relationships. 70% of Canadians said they were concerned about maintaining social ties, while 54% of respondents with kids said they were very or extremely concerned about their children's loneliness or social isolation. Isolation isn't just affecting people's mental health. People are in danger. They're trapped at home with abusive partners or abusive parents. Child welfare agencies are saying that there's been a drop in reports, but that's not because there's a drop in abuse, but rather fewer and fewer people are reporting it because fewer and fewer kids are being checked in on. Many are predicting that there's going to be a mental health tsunami coming in the next few months, with more suicides and more overdoses and more attempted suicides and more deaths, not from COVID itself, but from COVID-related circumstances. I didn't know that this was a thing, but apparently there's a term. It's called failure to thrive. And increasingly, seniors are dying from a failure to thrive, which means that they are just so depressed that they give up on life and they stop eating. And they just die. I was reading recently about more and more seniors asking for or wanting their medical assistance in dying expedited because they just don't want to live like this anymore. I'm not saying that lockdowns and being COVID wise is entirely unnecessary, but it's taking a toll. Can we all agree on that? It's taking a toll. And we need to do something about that toll. Keep checking in on your neighbors this winter. Keep checking in on the people that are around you, especially the most vulnerable. And be the help to them that you can be. Let's more than ever serve our city and our neighbors as a church. I don't want us to see this season as kind of a break or a holiday. You can take breaks and holidays, but I don't want us to see the whole thing as just a chance to unplug and tune out and do whatever we want for months and months and months. People around us are in need and dying. Let's step into that. Lastly, my exhortation with regard to Jesus and mission, let's always remember, in the midst of everything that's going on, let's always remember that what people need more than anything, i.e. what they need more than a vaccine, or what they need more than an end to the pandemic, or a return to normal, or a reunion with loved ones, or an economic recovery, or constitutional rights and freedoms, or a more democratic government and a more just and equal society, these things are good. But what we need even more than all of that is Jesus. What people need is Jesus. Who people need is Jesus. I love what Jesus says in Mark 8:36. He says, "What does it benefit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his life?" We were made for God. We were made for a relationship with God. What we need more than ever is to be forgiven for our brokenness and our sin and all of the ways that we failed to live up to who we were created to be, all the ways that we failed God and hurt each other and hurt ourselves. We need forgiveness for that, and we need to be restored to a right relationship with God. We need to be restored to his love and his grace and his mercy. We need life with God more than anything. That's what we need, and Jesus can give us that. Jesus does give us that if we give our lives to him, and that's what people need. That's what we need. We need Jesus. You could have all the things I just listed, but if you don't have God, you have nothing. If you don't have God, you're not going to live into the fullness of what life is. But if you do have God, you can have fullness even if you lack the other things. So let's work for justice. Let's serve. But in the midst of all of that, let's make sure we are proclaiming the gospel. Let's make sure we tell people they need Jesus. We're planning already for 2021. Better ways we can be on mission, better ways we can be family, better ways we can be all about Jesus, better ways we can serve our city. I got to tell you, I'm planning it a little differently than I planned 2020. It's kind of funny to look back to early February when we had our vision night and what we were going to do in 2020. And then God was like, you know. You're going to do hardly any of those things. You're going to do something very, very different. And so I believe in planning. It's good to have a plan, but we plan with a lot more humility and open-handedness than we did before. But as we plan for 2021, I look back on these 3 years and how far we've come, and my heart is just full of joy and gratitude. I love you guys, and I am incredibly thankful to be on this adventure and on this journey with you. And the amazing thing is that everything I've just told you, it's not really our story. It's God's story. God is restoring the universe to what it was meant to be. He's building his church. He's building his kingdom. And our church, along with millions of other faithful churches across the world, is the means by which he's doing that. We are not just living out our own story, but we are part of God's global cosmic story. And he is doing his work in the world through us. I don't know about you, but I find that pretty exciting and pretty neat. And what a privilege to be a part of it. Okay, well, I'm getting choked up. We are going to sing our last song. And then after this song, I'm going to invite Phil to come up. And Phil is just going to pray, thank God for where we've been, and pray for the future of our church, and that will be the close to our meeting. So we'll sing, and then Phil, you can come up.
Hey, y'all. You can sit now if you'd like, or if you would keep standing, I mean, I would just be honored. Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight again on our 3-year anniversary of our first initial preview service. I'm just going to close this in prayer now. So, Heavenly Father, we just we come before you tonight just in humility and gratitude and just thanking you for the amazing opportunity it is to have served you here in Alta Vista for the last 3 years. God, we thank you that you've allowed us to be here and allowed us to do your work. And God, looking forward in time, we pray that we're going to be here for a long time to come. Thank you for the trying and the hard times that have shaped us into who we are as a church today. We thank you that you have sustained us in those times and that we can still look forward and look to you and hope through all of those times, knowing that you have carried us through and you have sustained us. God, we thank you for all the good times and all of the great people, the people that love you and the people who haven't known you that have come to know a little bit more about you through us, God, and that you've allowed us to be your instrument in that. So we just want to ask, God, that, again, holding all of our plans open-handed, as Dave said, just that you would allow us to continue to be your instrument, continue to be what you would have us to be in this neighborhood and in this city, God. So we pray that your will and your work would go forward through us, and we just thank you that you've given us the great honor of being a part of it. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for all the great people that we know and have met through this church. And we look forward to all the work that you will do through us, God. In your son's name, amen. Thanks, all. Have a great night.